And welcome back for another episode of the Blackwatch Report. I am your host, Thorn Rain, and with me as always, my co-host, Mr. Kyle Wynn. How are you doing tonight, Kyle?
Pretty good.
Fantastic. If I slur my words, I'm sorry, I'm very sleepy. Because basically all I've been doing is work. We're in our final quarter, so it's just a ton of overtime. I barely got to watch any matches this week, so Kyle, I saw you did something a little interesting again
over the weekend. I did lots of... It's been a very interesting week. So I did Wednesday and Saturday. I was on Video Game Bang podcast with a bud of mine who also happens to work for NRG Jock. So that was cool. We got to talk about video game stuff in general, the games I'm working on, the event I'm planning, all that kind of stuff. Did some promo kind of stuff. That was cool. I've also got interviewed by like one of the biggest magazines in town, which was interesting because I didn't know about it until about an hour before. I had a friend of mine be like, yeah, by the way, this guy from the News and Review is coming. I'm like, oh, okay. So I've been doing like PR stuff lately. I was like, this is a weird look, but all right, I'm cool with that. And then just today, actually, I had to go buy a new keyboard because I spilled tea on my old keyboard, my lovely Corsair keyboard. And so right now, just for the time being, I'm rocking this lovely $5 at Fry's no brand keyboard until my really, really nice Ducky keyboard comes in the mail in like a week or two. So...
You dropped
some I'm getting a 60% keyboard. Yeah, it's $100 for a keyboard, which it feels a bit bad, but I need a keyboard. And I always wanted to get one. It's like white with RGB and it's only $100, which is nice. It's got like the keycaps I want. I'm excited for that. I'm super hyped for that. But in the meantime, I'm on the membrane life. And dude, I just played a little bit of games earlier.
It's got to be super weird. It is
rough, as well as typing, because they do the stupid thing where they have this giant enter key. And then they moved the backslash up to next to the backspace. And so now the backspace is just a single key size. Ew. And so I'm like, oh, it's the worst, dude. I hit that all the time by accident and never actually backspace.
just got and a dude, bunch I've of slashes.
Also, yeah, exactly. One final thing. If no one has heard of this game, it is so, so good. It's called Remnant from the Ashes. And it's like Dark Souls, but a first person or a third person shooter. It is so good. It's super difficult. And a friend of mine have been playing it.
I think I just saw something about that. There's like a demon dog that you can pet.
It's a weird world. It's like procedurally generated levels too. So there's so much replayability. So it's like
Diablo almost in that
aspect. It's like Diablo or Poe meets Dark Souls, but also as a third person shooter in this weird post-apocalyptic, almost Fallout, but kind of different world. It is this like sleeper out of nowhere game that, like, if done well, could be like the underground game of the year, in my opinion. It's so randomly good. I knew nothing about it. They did no PR, no advertising, but it's just like incredible. So
before I forget again, there is something else that I've done and been doing. I'm actually putting on an Overwatch League watch party here in town.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that.
I've got a venue going out to One Life to play out here in Westlake. Free watch party. So if anybody's listening that lives in the greater Cleveland, Northeast Ohio area, or if you want to drive up from Southern Ohio, free watch party this Saturday. $5 all-night play during the Overwatch League matches. Come and hang out. But other than that, I think it's time to give a pretty big shout out because we've got no new iTunes reviews, no Twitch follows or subscribers or anything, but we've got a huge upgrade. Shrug off. Subscriber forever. Patreon forever. Just bumped himself up to the $20 sponsor level. So we've got our first sponsor. So we're gonna need that commercial submission because you get a free commercial for the month there, Shrug. So if hopefully you got something to promote. But thank you so much for the 20. That actually is going to go towards, I'm going to try to put together a giveaway, maybe tie something Ooh. Into the to the gauntlet, figure I'm something down out for there. That. But if you want to become a Patreon, you can head over to patreon.com/blackwatchreport and get the shout out, because our Patreons are responsible for bringing us our news. So the news this week is going to be brought to you by Shrugoff. Thank you, sir. Let's get down into this news here. It's some fun
single-handedly, news. Single-handedly keeping the lights on here at Blackwatch HQ, man. It is. Oh, yes. Yeah. I guess for right now, he just wants us to plug his Twitch. That's twitch.tv/Shrugoff, I would assume. Where he does Digimon and Overwatch. That is a combination.
That is a heck of a combination. And we thank you, and we will promote that combination.
Yep. So, let's talk about our favorite branding team here. Third Impact. First Gen, Second Square, One Gen Impact. They got just ripped apart after this, after they got knocked out of playoffs here. So what has happened is Onigod, back to Onigod now, he's no longer Spectral.
Mm-hmm.
He went Onigod to Spectral, now back to Onigod, which I feel like that's all for the better. Now we're there, and he's out of Third Impact. I mean, the team was kind of going through some weird ways after losing Grunto as their main sponsor or org. So it is interesting. I mean, they were a good team. They made it to playoffs. They even got second seed in playoffs. So they only had to face off against Glad's Legion in the semis. Didn't work out, but I think that it is interesting to see that so many of these changes happen. But with a player like Onigod, I think it's probably fine that he leaves his team, because there's pretty good options, especially considering what's going to happen in the future of Overwatch League is going to end soon. Teams are going to start picking up players.
Yep.
He either gets picked up or can join an academy team to get picked up. Maybe gets picked up for the gauntlet, which is probably the best plan for him. Yeah, this should be interesting to see, but unfortunate to see Third Impact, and we'll find out after this that there's not just the one change.
Yeah. So you're going to see a theme here for a little while on our news, because Umte also left Third Impact. And it was actually kind of funny, because the way he left Third Impact is literally just copied Onigod's tweet that said, LFT, Third Impact, GG. I'll make a LFT post another day with Onigod. So it's interesting to see that after they went from, what was it, Chicken Contennies, and then jumped onto to Grunto, and then the separation, and we saw, what was it, last week? Let me pull this up. Where'd it go? Kalios and Apply, and what was it? HTP, yeah, HTP Herald all joined Third Impact. Now we're starting to see kind of the mass exodus of players going out. So, you know, Onigod leaving, Umte leaving, and Kyle's got another one here coming up.
Yep, our boy Salty is gone as well from Third Impact. Not too much details, just that he's left. Actually, he just got a twit longer. Is this just thanking people? No, it's just his resume.
Yeah.
Okay. Whatever.
So along with a twit longer of resumes, Ju Young, the former coach of Third Impact, has also left. So we kind of see where HTP Herald comes in with that announcement. So just, we're seeing a whole flip here. We have no scheduling information on when the next Contenders is going to happen. We don't even have scheduling information on when the next Open Division is going to happen. I know there's a lot of people waiting for that. Now that we've went down to the two seasons in the year instead of three, scheduling has gotten a little wonky. So hopefully we hear something about Open or the first season of 2020 here. Probably around the Gauntlet, I would assume, is when we're going to get news on those.
Yeah, I'm not super sure of it. Last little bit of news here. Dredro has parted ways with Samsung Morningstars after being with them for almost a year. Main support player, pretty good French. He says he's French and Brazilian, which is an interesting combo. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he's got dual citizenship, but that's kind of cool. I think he made it onto the French seven-man roster for World Cup. I think. I'm going to look this up because I think that no. FD God got it above him, which is interesting. Who's from Young and Beautiful. Interesting. Okay. Well, unlucky.
But that's all of the news. It was a very short news week. We get those weeks where we have 3 pages of just news, and then we get the ones where we had to break up every roster move just to fill out a new section. So before we get down into the quick play, just a real quick word from our sponsor here. Break away from your normal energy and go rogue. Head over to therogueenergy.com and use promo code BlackWatchReport at checkout for 10% off of your purchase. That takes us into our quick play. We're just going to kind of break down the brackets for the playoffs here. So Kyle, why don't you start us off with NA West?
All right, so what happened here in NA West, we need to go back in time and find our bracket. Actually, I could probably just do it off of memory based on who we thought was going to win. Right? I think beyond... Actually, I do need to pull it up. I wanted to figure out specifically how right our brackets were or weren't. So if I'm going back in time to 74, I think we had it. Right? No? Hello? There we go. Yeah. Okay. So I'll throw that over there. For NA West, we had predicted it going to Rebellion over Second Wind, and then Envy taking out Rebellion, and then beating XL2. And the bottom half of the bracket, we got Triumph over Tea Party, then XL2 over Triumph. So the only thing we did not get right was Montreal beating Second Wind. Second Wind takes out Montreal 3-1. Triumph takes out Tea Party 3-0. Envy beats Second Wind 3-1. And then XL2 beats Triumph 3-0, leaving Envy and XL2 in the playoffs or in the finals. And we had predicted both of us, Envy, taking that. And that's what happened with a 4-2 victory. We'll kind of break this down a little bit more in the main discussion section, though.
So then over on NA East. Up the bracket myself.
I have it if you want me to read it out.
Yeah, because Google Docs is giving me a problem. Oh, there it goes.
So we okay.
Maybe. Everything for some reason is loading extremely slow. I don't know why.
I'll read it off. So we had we both had Sky Foxes beating Phase 2, then Atlanta beating Sky Foxes, moving Atlanta to playoffs. And we also had Uprising beating GLADS, but then I had Third Impact beating Uprising. You had Uprising beating them and going to finals. We are both wrong on the whole bottom half of that bracket. We had GLADS beating Uprising, and then you can just read off the results.
So then we see the Sky Foxes falling to Phase 2, which was the first one that we got wrong.
That was a close one, too.
Yeah, 3-2 on that one. And then the Uprising lose 3-0 to the Gladiators Legion. We both got that one wrong. That was the one I had the caveat with the tanks, because they were switching tanks. Yeah, and
right. But
I still predicted the wrong team. I'll admit that. So then we see Atlanta versus Phase 2. Atlanta getting that 3-0, continuing that perfect streak. And then Third Impact falling to Gladiators Legion 3-1, which set up the Gladiators Legion versus the Atlanta. Gladiators Legion were able to hand the Atlanta Academy their first map loss, which I don't remember which map it was on.
King's Row.
Yes.
We'll talk about that, because that... Ooh, that King's Row. That was something else.
Yeah, that last push on point 3 was absolutely But that gives us Atlanta taking the NA East, which then sets us up for the Gauntlet tiebreaker matches. Why don't you grab these tiebreakers here?
So these tiebreakers, I feel like, are more than anything the true actual playoffs.
Yes, 100%.
Because we now know who the best in NA is, who's second, who's third, who's fourth. The third and fourth matches were decided by XL2 playing against Gladiators Legion, and XL2 took that in a pretty strong 4-1. I don't think we're going to talk about that one, but we are going to talk about this next match, which is, in our belief, to be the true grand finals for NA, and that is Envy versus Atlanta Academy. And kind of in a big surprise, but if you look at the matches, it's not quite as surprising. It kind of comes down to one particular thing here. Atlanta take the 4-1 victory over Team Envy. So we'll talk about this one, but this was deceptively close and just really, really rough if you are the staff and players on Team Envy.
Yeah, it was. So that sets up the gauntlet for NA going to Atlanta first, Envy second, XL2 third, and the Legion coming in fourth. That's going to be the NA seeding. Well, how they're going to seed for the gauntlet. Atlanta getting the bye into the second double elimination bracket, which actually Boop and Ham Tornado made mention that during the finals of the tiebreaker here, team logos were NA. It was like perfect for who was going to win this. The kings of NA, you had Envy and Atlanta. Yeah.
Envy.
I had to look at the TV again. I was like, oh yeah, it is NA. Just a funny little thing off a stream there. So then over in EU, we have kind of a shocker here. At least in my book, I didn't see it going this way. We see the British Hurricane beating Angry Titans 3-1 in the quarterfinals, and then HSL Esports beating Samsung Morningstars 3-1 in the quarterfinals. Moving into the semis, we've got Team Gigante just absolutely rolling through the British Hurricane 3-0, and then HSL Esports just barely squeaking out over Clockwork Vendetta 3-2. That went the distance on that one. So that sets up the Team Gigante versus HSL Esports, where HSL Esports take it 4-1, sending them to represent EU in the gauntlet. I was really expecting to see Gigante go to the gauntlet here, and it's actually kind of sad. Like, Gigante's the old guard, and HSL's coming in and stealing their glory here.
I mean, interestingly enough, though, HSL is, like, despite being old guard, they are new guard, they have, like, the oldest team of players. Like, they have Fisher, who's not, like, old in age specifically, but old as in like, as well as Zapray, who was on the original Misfits roster, Chow, who's been around for a decent time, Henningsen, who's I think a bit newer, and Ding and Askoft, who are I think not super duper old, but I think like they're a new team, but I think of relatively veteran players. As well, man, they got like Team Denmark here ready to go. They have all but two players are Danish, so that could be interesting.
Shrug in the chat says Fisher's going for the revenge on Envy. He might actually get it.
Maybe.
We'll have to see how the seeding works out.
But yeah, then in Korea, I think we already covered this, so we'll be pretty brief on this. We just now have dates for the finals and playoffs and stuff like that. The bracket is Runaway versus Fusion University in the quarters, as well as GC Busan Wave and Elit Mystic. The winner of Runaway Fusion will take on O2 Blast, and the winner of GC versus Elit Mystic will go up against Gen G. And then they have finals and then a third place match because Korea has three spots now.
Yep.
Quarterfinals will take place tomorrow, so we'll have those to cover next week as well. Semifinals are taking place in 10 days on the 31st, and then the next day will be finals. Does FU make the redemption run, Shrug? I want them to, but I don't think they will.
Shouldn't be, do they make the redemption run? Because this is a brutal lineup. You got O2 Blast and you got Gen G already sitting in the semis. and both of them are strong teams. You got to make it past Runaway, who's been kind of iffy. GC Busan kind of turned it on at the end. The only team to be able to give O2 a loss this season. I'm not even really worried about Element Mystic at this point. The question should be, can they at least make it to third? That's the big question.
They need to beat Runaway and then they're fine, right? And then they need to beat Runaway and then probably Element Mystic, I think. Maybe GC takes Element Mystic out. I could see that. And I don't know if... I don't think these finals are on lane at all. I think it's all online and they have to... Like, obviously, if they get to Gauntlet, they'll be great.
Yeah, but it'll be a different story then.
To get to Gauntlet, it's kind of rough, I think. They have a very... I think they're on the better side of the bracket, I think. I think
whoever,
Gen G is better than O2 right now, it seems like.
Whoever Gen G beats, or well, whoever loses out of the Gen G matchup will face whoever is out of the O2, which we're assuming could potentially be Fusion University. So yeah. Fusion University has to beat Runaway, and then they're going to have to beat whoever comes out of this Gen G esports matchup. Because I don't see them beating O2 Blast. I don't at this point. Yeah. It's going to be a tough run for them. But if anybody could do it, Fusion University can. That's what we said going into Korea, and look where they ended up. So we'll have to wait and see. But that's going to take us down into our main discussion here. We got three matches that we're going to talk about real quick. We've got Envy versus XL2 for the West Finals. And then we have the Atlanta versus Gladiators Legion for the East Finals. And then we're going to talk about the Grand Finals, Envy versus Atlanta Academy. So Kyle, why don't you start us off with Envy versus XL2 here?
So this was an interesting one. This was like a sniper showdown grudge match, and I love that. I love this Sharp versus KSP mini storyline.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty cool to see. But specifically, let's just go down the list here. First off, Crimzo, I need to not, like, I cannot not talk about this guy every time we bring this up. Specifically with his Ana play, we knew he was a great Zen, and he was getting huge right clicks on Zen this match. But his Bionade, specifically because I think XL2, because they're running Buds in the off tank spot, they want to avoid having him play D.Va as much as possible because he's just in it for the hog, basically. That means Crimzo now has nothing blocking his Bionades and he can just get infinite value, and he did. So that was one of the things that, like, yes, it is kind of on XL2 to have a D.Va to eat the nades, but it was also on Crimzo to be able to hit the nades in the first place. So credit where credit's due there. Sharp, again, when he was able to play the Widow versus KSP, it was great. It was like, I don't think he necessarily got the better end of the duel, but he kept KSP distracted enough for the rest of the team to be able to win out the 5v5. And I think that was the more important thing, because I think that's where Envy shined. But where Sharp didn't shine, where he wasn't quite as sharp, was on that Sombra. I think his Reaper was okay at best when they had to run the new goats, as it's being dubbed, I guess. But then specifically when they're trying to run the Sombra Hanzo, I think they ended up running quite a bit.
Yep.
Or Sombra Pharah. He just seemed to have not that much impact. I think he'd get occasional picks here and there, but I think he had some issues with like one-man, two-man EMPs that weren't even on like super high value targets. It definitely was, like, you can kind of start to see the cracks in the armor here with Team Envy and see them to be the more vulnerable team, to where when they do go up against Atlanta, it's kind of, you can kind of see where the flaws are and where you can take advantage. Let's talk about Hafakul here, because
good
he,
God, this man,
despite being brought in like 3-4 weeks ago, because the previous tank line got pulled, and called up. I think Half a Cool is definitely the one that benefited more from this pickup.
Yep.
Numlocked looks fine. He looks adequate. I don't think he is having quite the performance that Half a Cool is having. Not only on D.Va with the multi-kill D.Va bombs, like multiple times throughout this matchup, but also Volskaya defense on A, he wins matches just with hog mechanics and then like lurking in the back line and playing in that little, I don't know, it's like the high ground room with the little platform, just like getting solo picks on key targets and then giving his team time to come back from the defensive respawn. So dude deserves credit for the incredible play there. And then last up for Envy is Jaru, who I think doesn't get too much credit despite being pretty good. I don't think he's like nuts, lights out, best DPS in NA or whatever, but I think he's a great role player. His Pharah's really good, plays out on multiple maps. His Hanzo's really good. Specifically, there's I think two fights I remember where they were long, drawn out fights. Everyone used all their cooldowns, everyone used ults that they had, and there were still no kills. And then he was able to take advantage of just surviving and waiting for the perfect opportunity, getting picks, swinging those fights in his team's favor. And then on the side of XL2, there's really, really honestly, like I tried to not look at it like one-dimensionally, but it honestly seemed like the KSP show for most of this. My note here is tried his absolute hardest to solo carry, parentheses, and he did at many points on Widow. One of the best Widow performances I've seen in a long time. And this was a player that as soon as he like tried to force Ashe and Widow in like goats v goats and made it work, I'm like, okay, this KSP guy is pretty good. I think Paris absolutely pick him up, or another team that needs a good hit scan should pick him up in this offseason. He is a phenomenal player, and I don't think he's, unlike a lot of really good hit scan players we've seen, he is not inconsistent. He seems quite consistent with nonstop pressure. Like, he doesn't like disappear on maps like we've seen other players like Sharp and even Corey previously did back when he was on Gladiator's Legion. I think KSP just has yet to show me anything other than just purely incredible mechanics. I talked about this previously as well with Buzz on off tank. It's interesting. It works on Hog because he's talented at the Roadhog, but they kind of had to play it so much. It
puts him one dimensional.
What?
It puts XL2 really one dimensional.
Yeah. See where My note here is that like that's the thing that allowed Crimzo to get these bionades, and like Hog really suffers from bionades because he can't use his take a breather. That this new goats comp really gets screwed up by bionades because it's a slower comp. It's not about diving and killing them before they can kill you. It's about baiting out cooldowns, mind gaming abilities, and stuff like that. So I think that gives much more of an opportunity for these bionades to really just wreck the team. And like, I don't think the value that you'll find off of Buds on Hog was quite enough to warrant switching him out. And maybe if they can find a different off tank, because I think they have one. I can't remember who. Who is their off tank? It is Bianca, who I don't think we've seen thus far. I think they've run Buds KSP speedily, like, for a while. So, last little bit of players to take a look at is OG and Haku. I think they each had some pretty good moments here and there, but I don't think it was really worth it too much. I think that they had also pretty big mistakes that each one of them made. They like appeared for a while and disappeared for a while. So I think XL2 just had a bit of a rough go here versus Envy, but I think they did better in their tiebreaker match.
Yeah, and to see how they'll play and who they'll play really in the gauntlet, I mean, we could see XL2 make a deep run depending on who they get, or they end up getting a Korean team first matchup and they're eliminated, because with the way XL2 have been playing, they're playing good, but I think some of the international teams are playing just a hair bit better. I don't see them beating a Gen G or an O2. Maybe even, you know, a runaway. So we'll have to see there. But this is the one I'm excited about. Gladiators Legion and Atlanta Academy. Two of my favorite teams. It was a great matchup. So Kyle, start us off here.
So, talking about Atlanta, they are, and always have been, honestly.
Oh, yeah. Even back to last night's leftovers.
They were a very, very, very aggressive team. We saw Dogman taking incredible flanks and playing hyper-aggressively. We saw Sugarfree, whom, like, as long as the team can play around his aggression, they will just roll, because he's just like a, I'm going on my own, I'm going to go kill their team kind of play. And it works, because they are all kind of along the same, they're all on the same wavelength with this. You've got a couple of notes here, just kind of more.
Yeah, kind of general. Tying into that. We saw one of their moments on Downtown Busan where they pulled back on the aggression and gave the point to the Gladiators Legion. But it was a strategic move, because they saw that cooldowns and abilities were being used by the Legion, and they were having theirs come off of cooldown. So they backed off, gave them, I think, like 22%, and then just absolutely rolled them. Barely lost anybody in that engagement, but they knew when to kind of step back off of the aggression. Atlanta's playing at a completely different level right now. So much so that still on Busan, when they're in the mech base, the entirety of mech base, two people died on Atlanta Academy. Gator died once, Saucy died once, and both of them were at the end. Gator was right before overtime kicked in. Saucy was right as, like, overtime started. Just absolutely playing insane Overwatch right now, Atlanta's doing. Just watching them aggress and back off exactly when they needed to against the Legion, it was some of the most, strategic really isn't the word that I want to use here, but, like, they knew exactly when to not push and when to push.
They're very coordinated and well-coached
coordinated
team, I think.
Yes, thank you. I'm still half asleep.
Yeah. And then, talking about Gator here, I honestly watched these matches twice. Like, I watched the Atlanta Glads Legion live previously, and then I didn't take notes on it. And then I rewatched it today, this morning, and took notes. And it took me until about halfway through today's matches to realize that Gator is really, really good at Orisa. And I think that, because he's an aggressive player, and I think that benefits him, because he gets so many entry picks on Orisa, which I don't think you see very often from most Orisa players. It's usually something with the Mei or the Reaper getting the picks, maybe some Bionades or Zen right clicks to do some damage. But I think specifically with walls, halts, and just left clicks, he really just has so much damage, gets a supercharger faster than other people, and just those entry picks are really, really strong for them. As well as Hawk, dude. I will talk about this guy more in this next, in our final section here. I think this guy ages in, right? I think he's 18 soon.
Let me pull him up.
This guy, if he doesn't go up to the rain, which I don't think he does, because they already have two op tanks who are pretty fine, I think this guy goes to Houston or Dallas or who else could use him? I don't know. Houston or Dallas would really, really benefit from him if they drop their current off tank options. I think this guy just has so much. He's shown so much growth in like the last year. We've paid attention to him. Just from when he was on, what team was he? I think he was on.
He was on Goats.
No Clout, maybe.
He started on No Clout, went to Bazooka Puppies.
I think watching him since No Clout, I remember him.
Yeah.
Just looking pretty good, and then just seeing this constant, consistent growth from him to one of, if not the best off tank in the region thus far. I think this dude has really, really, really made a case for himself to get picked up by a Overwatch League team at this break, and I would be surprised if he didn't. I would call some shenanigans if he didn't, because not only is he, first off, playing aggressively well along with his team, he's always the one that not only will contest the Pharah Mercy combo if they're running it, yep, but also will often kill the Pharah out of the sky. But also, he knows when to rein it back in. Haha, puns. Because he also eats every freaking Blizzard and Rocket Barrage and Dragon, yep, and anything that goes through the air, he eats it. He just knows, like, he can be in the Pharah's face, turn around, come back, eat an ult there, and then go back up and attack the Pharah. And it's not just like he's a D.Va one trick either. His Hog is also pretty good when he needs to use that as well. I think that he's just absolutely incredible. This, yeah, dude needs a pickup, like, big time. I think if he hasn't made a case now, I feel like he's going to make a case at the Gauntlet and just wow people.
He ages in September 16th. So literally, like, what is that? 2 weeks? No.
Yeah.
Yeah, 2 weeks. That's before.
2-3 weeks.
Because this free agency window opens up right after the finals. So the finals, right, are, I on mean, the, like, 29th.
He'll be absolutely fine for the season. I didn't really doubt that. I just don't know if he was 17 or 16 or whatever.
Yeah.
I think he'll honestly, the dude deserves a spot. With all of these, and I don't know how much, to what degree it is, because I've heard both options. I've heard both sides that it's either every player that signed in season one is got their contract up, but I've also heard that, like, a lot of people re-signed new contracts after.
Yeah, they didn't do the extension. They just did full blown contracts.
Yeah, like a full redo. So honestly, I don't know what to expect just yet, but I think if we do see more of that first option to where a lot of these players get dropped, a lot of these old guard players get dropped because they haven't performed great, I think this dude gets a spot and takes some. I think honestly, not only could he take a spot and start, but I think he could also be like a top half off tank in the league, I think. I'm not going to say top five or whatever, but I think top 10, I could see it.
Put him next to Mooma on Houston.
I could see that. But I feel like Mooma's also not super duper aggressive, and he does well with an aggressive main tank.
True.
But maybe that they can coach. Maybe Mooma gets dropped too. I feel like he's probably one of the players you would think not. Maybe he just gets moved to the bench spot.
I think,
and
Houston,
then you bring in a hyper aggressive main tank.
The most gutted teams that we'll see, which coming up here in just a month and a half, and everything's going to just get exploded. And it's going to be glorious to watch as contenders players get contracts and, you know, Overwatch League players move down to contenders. But Hawk's got to be one of those ones.
I think at most you lose half the roster for Houston, in my opinion. I think you take about half, you drop maybe Spree or Coolmat, whoever hasn't been performing well. You drop Bonnie or Boink, whoever hasn't been performing well. I think you keep the DPS line because those are pretty good. You have options with that. Maybe pick up a fourth DPS. You pick up a new main tank to kind of either give bench pressure or to play in a completely different style as Mooma on the main tank spot. You bring up a great off tank. There's lots of options, but I think Hawk is one of the best. There's lots of options that we can do. But again, we're kind of stealing future content, so let's continue on here and talk about Gladiator's Legion, who really, really came alive at this final fight on King's Row. Just on the third point, Atlanta got a couple of picks, but Vlads were smart about retreating a little bit, not letting them get the second pick, waiting for respawns, and then just using the respawn advantage.
It was the most insane, like, overtime fight, because it was Atlanta would get three picks, and then Gladiator would get three picks, and then the trickles would come back in, and then each team would get two picks, and then one team would get three, and then the other one would get two, and then it was just like that, back and forth, and mm-hmm. then what was it? I think it was like right at the end, somebody got a boop onto two people into the pit off to the side on Atlanta Academy, which kind of finalized for the Legion, but it was just absolute crazy for the Legion's push there.
Yeah, and then we got three players to look at here. Because Shrug brought it up in chat, I think we should talk about Rialto and what happened on the end of their push on Rialto, where with maybe two other teammates at most alive, Luddy hits Sound Barrier, and they commit to a fight that was very clearly from the outside looking in lost. Avast was losing his mind on the cast. He was pissed off. I was pissed off. I bet Maid was pissed off. I think a lot of people were pissed off at that play. And then they just kept kind of feeding in there too, across that bridge. There was just some really questionable play here that I think needs to be addressed. And then we'll end on a high note and talk about Dalton, but first we should talk about Water.
Yeah.
Who we know is a good DPS player, but just has yet to be able to play his actual good heroes. We saw him try to play Genji once and got like nothing, and so he just stopped this match. His Mei is not great. He consistently dies early, gets walled off, his positioning isn't great. I think he is a mechanics over positioning player. I don't think he has the worst positioning, but it's definitely just is a constant issue, needs to be worked on.
You have to play a different type of positioning when you're playing the Mei.
Yeah.
I saw issues with his walls, like when he was trying to wall people off. He did it a couple times, but one of the biggest ones is the Legion were advancing on their attack on Volskaya point A. They were moving in as a group. Everything was looking good. Water tries to wall off Gator on the Orisa. Instead of walling him off, he actually lifts him to the high ground on that little center room where Gator's just able to drop his shield and set up high ground and put pressure from above while the team is coming in from the lower back half. And it kind of puts them in this pincer. And then Atlanta just absolutely wrecks the Legion down below him. And it's like, had he actually walled him off and prevented him from going around the building, they probably would have picked Gator. But instead he moves him up to the high ground. And I actually saw him do it, I think, two other times. Didn't result in big moments. But this one actually kind of allowed Atlanta to secure prevent Gladiators from taking that point. So yeah, Mei for Water, not the greatest.
Yep. Lastly, we'll end again, like, just a lot of clear issues here with Gladiators Legion. Dalton just can't really get it done too much on the Reaper. I don't think he really got more than, I think he got one big kill with the Death Blossom. I can't remember where specifically, but I remember seeing one big one. The rest, he kind of just is having issues getting those final picks. He can obviously put out damage, but like being able to solidify picks is kind of rough. He does kind of make up for it on Hanzo. His Hanzo looks to be kind of redeeming, specifically on Volskaya is where my note says. But I just think that altogether, like, that was a bit rough for him. I think this team, they're clearly talented, but they just, like, I think they are good pieces, but they just don't seem to work well together. I think they also just don't seem to be in the right meta. Like, they're a dive team. I think they're a team that could do really, really well at dive with Genji, Tracer, and Winston, D.Va, Lucio, and Zen. Like, they're probably be incredibly skilled, but like, it's not what you can do now. That's not what the meta is, and it for that they're getting screwed up.
XQC 2020. Not okay. Even remotely close. So let's talk about the grand finals here. Envy versus yep. Atlanta Academy. This is the one that we predicted 2 weeks ago that this was going to be the first place versus first place matchup. Yep. You had it going to Envy. I had it going to Atlanta. I got it right. I'm just saying.
Because like, we didn't make a Lord bet or anything.
Like we've both been saying, just Atlanta's playing on a whole different level here. So let's kick this off talking about Envy here then.
So Envy on this mat, I think it really honestly truly came down to literally one fight every map.
Mm-hmm.
It was 99-99, both control points at the end. It was one fight on every single map that Atlanta Academy were just able to just scrape it by. In the similar way that, like, I remember Fusion University was the same way. They're like, they are winning fights that they shouldn't have won. Like, they let it get down to these clutch moments, and then they're always able to clutch it out. Atlanta are the same way here, I think. Envy just lost every final key fight, which was some shades of Houston Outlaws there that just really hurt my soul. Notes for Sharp here. He had, again, great Widow play here. But as we saw from Dalton, just really having issues getting stuff done on Reaper. Fire came really to life here and was part of the reason that Envy were able to take Anubis in the first place. Always really, really solid to see. And you've got a note on Haffy, cool.
Just going back to Haffy on his the hog. I'm sorry. It's been a long couple of days. I'm serious. On, I really can't remember the character's name now at this point.
Hook guy or
yeah, Hook
Korean
man,
mech lady.
Hook man. But we're talking on Anubis here. The Gladiator's Legion is attacking. So if you're coming out of spawn and you go out the left hand side, there's that little corner there where it's a couple steps down and there's a wall that you can hide behind. Haffy ends up in there and he's by himself, absolutely by himself, and ends up taking on four different people at like four different spots. They're just kind of trickling in, jumping in, but he's got the low ground, which is a little odd, and he's able to just pull hooks, just one-shot people, open up the center lane for the rest of Team Envy to be able to advance down to the point. He single-handedly got them the 3 points on Anubis. It was absolutely insane. He's 100% the reason why they won that. I mean, granted, Atlanta wasn't able to get the 3 points, but if Haffacool didn't just absolutely clutch out all his cooldown management, that's what got him. He was able to initiate the fight coming up the stairs from the mega health pack underneath of the ramp with a whole hog. And then he was able to use his, between his hooks and his take a breathers, just sustain forever over there. So much so that he got a second whole hog, which he then used to take out the supports, which got them the final point. Just, this man is absolutely insane on Roadhog. Got to it. I remembered. But if I might actually go and clip it and post it, because it was just, it was a moment of beauty from him on Anubis there.
Definitely. And then talking about our champions, Atlantis Academy here. Overall for them, they seem like the more meta conforming of the two teams. And they've always seemed like that way, basically, since at least the start of this year. When it came to like, okay, you're going to be playing goats, like, cool, okay, we're going to get good at goats. We're going to pick up the Brig, pick up the Zarya, and we're going to do it. And they could flex if they needed to flex, but they didn't force it. An opportunity is like, I really want to play far right now. They're like, no, if playing goats or playing the new goats is the thing that you got to do, then we'll do it. And when it comes to the May Reaper as well, they like realized that was the case, and then they perfected that as well. Again, they're an aggressive team, but they make it work because they're all aggressive together. It's not like we saw teams previously where, like, we talked about Fact Fiction in Mame Academy, who would like, we're going in, and they're like, we are, and then he dies and stuff like that. Again, let's I'm not gonna, we already talked about him enough. Hawk as well gets some great 3Ks here, eats a lot of more ults. Great player. Let's just I don't want to get too deep into this and lose another 10 minutes of podcast time to the Hawk show.
But the pairing of Gator and Hawk are actually what saved Ilios for them on Well, because it was like 99 to like 89, and they were trying to secure the point. And I don't even think it was a thrown D.Va bomb. I think it was a save the mech, like remech. Mm-hmm. And Hawk sees it come down, throws out the halt, and is able to pull who was it? Numlock, and get the kill on him, which then made Envy have to back off, which gave Atlanta the point. Just the tight, when they play, like you said, they're aggressive, but they're aggressive together. So They know exactly what the other guys are doing, when they're going to do it, how they're going to do it, how to initiate and help if somebody gets into trouble. This is like literally the whole package. Shrug said this was like watching two Overwatch League teams play, and I couldn't agree more, because this was crazy, the coordination on Atlanta here.
Yep, definitely. Last two players I want to talk about here as well. Kodak, another player similar to Gator, who it took me a little while to understand his talent, but I think he is probably the best Moira player I've seen in NA, at least contenders level. He just knows the player well, gets Coalescence faster than anyone else I've seen. He's got an ult basically on cooldown, gets him usually in about a minute, maybe like every one to two fights. He always has Coalescence up, and he also knows how to take the off angles force and have his team take the other off angles to kind of get value with that ult, do good damage, do good healing as well. Great play from him as well. Sugarfree had great moments on both Hanzo and Reaper. I talked about it previously that it was a bit interesting to see Saucy be the one to pick up the May, considering Sugarfree is like the go-to projectile player. But it allows him to flex onto the Hanzo, because the May is the more consistent of the two, has to play the May a lot more. So that allows Sugarfree to play the Hanzo and play the Reaper when he has to, but mostly just when he needs to play the Hanzo, he plays it really, really well. So unfortunate that he's still got like 14 years until he can play in Overwatch League, but you know, being when he does, infant, I'm getting me a jersey.
Yeah. You know, being an infant, you can't play in the Overwatch League. You just can't
do it. It's a little difficult.
I do really want to reach out and try to talk to Free before they go to the Gauntlet. I think that would be like phenomenal to talk to him, because he had so long before he can get into the Overwatch League. But he's playing clearly at Overwatch League levels. Like, I want to know what's going through his head going to Korea for the Gauntlet. It'd be phenomenal to hear that. Might have to reach out to Sugar Dad.
Yep. Let's talk to Sugar Dad. I think one of my favorite things is that there was a tweet that was posted from one of the LNL players, I think, that was like, they were like planning, like, hey, are we gonna scrim today? And then Sugar Free commented, like, I was kind of going planning on going trick-or-treating today because it was Halloween or whatever. And that just like puts into perspective, like, the fact this guy is he is a kid. He is a kid playing Overwatch at an adult level. I found that to be just kind of a funny thing that like puts it in perspective. Like, okay, these guys are doing this as a job. He's like, I'm gonna go trick-or-treating instead. I found that to be funny.
I need to go get some candy. That's awesome. Exactly.
Fuel this Overwatch grind.
But that's gonna wrap us up. No real speculation station this week, because I mean, we only have the Korean stuff going on, and we kind of ran through that. So Kyle, where can they find you on the internet?
You can find me tilting my face off at TFT on twitch.tv/KyleTheWinner. I've been playing a little bit more, and then hopefully pretty soon I'll be streaming some Remnant game, the one I was telling about, the Dark Souls. I can't remember that. Yeah, Remnant from the Ashes.
Is that just a solo name of it. Game?
No,
or is that multiplayer?
You can play with multi. It's like I think at least duo. I think at least two people, maybe more. I think it's for sure two. So yeah, my friend and I have been playing that. It's super fun. But I'll probably try to get that streamed up pretty soon as well. Probably on a new run when I do one. And then follow me on Twitch at Twitter, Kyle the Winner as well there too. Come join the Discord. We've been talking basically nonstop about all the interesting venue announcements for Overwatch League 2020. Yes. I'm trying to figure out which one I want to go to for the Northern California ones. They got one in San Jose. They got one in San Francisco. I'm going to maybe try to see if I can swing some backstage opportunities to say what's up to Sinatra and Super and Moth and all the shock dudes, but we'll see about that. That's pretty unlikely still.
See if you can work the magic there.
Yeah, exactly. Do some networking. So, yeah, join the Discord. It's popping.
Yes, always. You can find me on Twitter at ThornRain. I do most of my streaming when I do stream right here on the Blackwatch Report Twitch channel, which I might. Oh, I got work at 4:30 in the morning. I was going to say, I might try to stream tonight. No, probably not. But if you are an audio listener, swing by Twitch, make a free account, hit that follow button. We'll give you a shout out on the show. If you happen to have Amazon Prime, that means you got Twitch Prime. We are affiliates, so we've got that sweet subscribe button. You can go ahead and hit that subscribe button with a free Twitch Prime. That'd be fantastic. But if you want to help out the show, absolutely free. Make Kyle do a little bit of extra work. Go ahead and make an iTunes review for us. And Kyle will read that live on the show. 1 star, 5 star, does not matter. We read all of them. Let us know what you like, what you don't like. And we'll work on those things for you. But you can find the show on Twitter at Blackwatch Report. There's no O in that report. You can also email the show, blackwatchreport@gmail.com, any questions, comments, or concerns. Follow the show on Twitch right here at twitch.tv/blackwatchreport. We record live Tuesday, 6 p.m. Eastern. Our intro music is an original piece by our own Mr. Kyle Wynn. This has been a High Noon production. You can find all of our shows over at highnoonpodcast.com and chat with all of the hosts from all of the shows over on that Discord that Kyle was talking about over at discord.me/highnoonpodcast. And with that, Blackwatch out.